Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, it is Christmas season, and there's lots of great things about that. If you've got those all the parties that are happening, maybe it's work parties, family parties, get together, different traditions, exchanging of gifts. Maybe for you, you have certain things that you do with your family where it's like, okay, we're going to go look at these lights, and we're going to like it, dang it, and then we're going to get hot chocolate, and you're not going to spill it in the car, and you're going to spend, you know, $47 at some place because people have to have cake pops, and you're not bitter. At least you're earning points. But it's those things where it becomes more about other stuff. It's more about the season than the Savior. Jesus, Jew, just got you right there. But think about it. Are you giving more time to those types of things? Are you giving more time to, like, you know, prepping? And I think we need maybe to be deprogrammed and reprogrammed in ways of what it's truly all about. So rather than going, hey, do we buy for these people? Do we exchange gifts with them? Can we just stop and go, okay, what should this really be all about? There's nothing wrong with a Hallmark movie. You're like, Keith, do you hate Christmas? No, I don't. Like, I actually like Hallmark movies. It's great. You sit down, you know how it's going to end, and you can scroll on your phone, do a little snuggle time, and, you know, it's great. Woo, for snuggle time or Hallmark? Like, it's not marriage night. Was that Sean? Sean? We'll talk after service, my man. We'll have to share which shows we like, you know. I love the one where they met on farmersonly.com and got married because it just really connects with me. And that's how I met my wife, you know. Anyways, I don't even know what I'm talking about. And you guys do, this is Sean's fault. Sean does this stuff. The Lord wanted to bring a word through me, and then Sean showed up at church. So, Advent. As Joe and Robin talked about, with Advent, what that does is it's preparing our hearts for Christmas. It's just a small devotional that it's once a week, and then if you have a family, there's a family experience portion to it, and an activity, and all of that. And it's just a way for us to go, what is this really all about? It doesn't mean we throw everything out, but it's a reprogramming. The why. Why do we do what we do? What are the things that we're engaging in, and we're giving lots of our time, finances, resources? And let's make it valuable. Let's really make it about Jesus. Like, the light itself was because of Jesus Christ. Like, that's the purpose of us doing lights at Christmas, but then it becomes about all sorts of different things. Think about this. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, came in the flesh of a virgin to us. Heaven came down to earth. So we need to reprogram our minds, and even maybe what we see in the manger and the barn. Maybe you think like Thomas Kincaid type picture. Maybe you think this. I don't know if that's a light dusting of snow, if that's artistic, but I want to tell you something. It was about 70 degrees when Jesus was born. Even in the month of December, it'd be in the 50s, but theologians and historians would say most likely when censuses were done and all that, it was most likely in September. It would have been sweaty, okay? And we glorify it, and the fact that Jesus came and the angels spoke to the shepherds and there was all that was going on, and there was some chaos to it. So it wasn't this perfectly put together scene. God came to our mess. God came to our mess. God can come to the mess of the season or the house or whatever you have going on and make this perfect, yet human, experience this season of Christmas. Are we worshiping the season or are we worshiping the Savior? Think about this. Isaiah 9:6, 750 years before the Messiah came, before Jesus came, Isaiah had a vision. He said, woe is me. Isaiah 1:6, an angel appeared before him. He said, glory to God in the highest. He's like, woe is me. He falls to his knees. And these are the words that he penned 750 years prior that the Messiah was going to come. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The government will be on his shoulder, not shoulders, just shoulder. He can shoulder it all. And these four different things that he's described as. The full deity of God present in a child. To think that God didn't leave us on our own. And instead of he could have created any given way for sin debt to be paid, he chose to give of himself. To give of himself so that life could come in the death of his only son. What a gift. In all of eternity prior and all of eternity in the future, you look backwards, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. Time and space to us is confusing. Why at this time? Why 750 years prior was this written and then this takes place and then here we are and we know he's coming again, and the way we see time and space, we look at 80 years and say, that was a life well lived. And then we read in Scripture that a day is like 1,000 to God. 1,000, not days, but years to God. Psalm 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday. 2 Peter 3:8, do not overlook one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. It's really hard for us to understand like the infinite when we're finite. The eternal when all we can really see is just what's right in front of us. And our memories are so short, sometimes we can't even remember what was just a few days ago that had our hearts and our minds and all of our attention, and God sees it all. We can barely handle one relationship in front of us, and God sees all hearts and all lives. Time and space, it's just very different between us and the Lord. And his power wrapped up fully in God in the flesh, in this infant. To think, Psalm 97, verse 5, and the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord before the Lord, all of the earth. So yes, this was not just any birth. The mountains melt like wax. There was a reason that no other birth and no other death has ever impacted the world as his. We determine so many things around it, whether you have a relationship with Jesus or not. And to recognize that there was a special, not just any birth, a special birth. I mean, there are 10,000 people born every single day in the United States of America. There are 385,000 children born globally every single day. And this is not just any birth. This is not a typical birth. No, for a child is born, a son is given. Do you hear that? A son is given. That means to be a son is part of a family. Family before birth and then family following birth. This is, and given, the word given, that's unique. We'll come back to the gift that's given in Jesus. A son is given. This is prophetic. This is prophecy. Isaiah, 750 years before. Written, and now historians have found manuscripts, and they look at these, and they study them, and they're able to date test them with the highest level of accuracy. It's called paleography. It's the study of ancient writing systems to decipher and date historical manuscripts. To think that Isaiah, 750 years prior, is saying, this is how the Messiah, a child, will be born. Shepherds, wise men, angels, star. This is the life in detail that he will live. This is his blood that he will shed up high and being lifted up. He will be placed upon wood. He won't have a single bone broken in his body. His blood will be shed, and then he'll raise again the promised Messiah. To go, only God. This is God prophesying through Isaiah. Like, this is going to happen, to warn and tell, and then later, look at the story. He's always been there. He's always been at work, This is his rescue mission. This is the rescue mission that God has put together. Wonderful Counselor, the first description. I think we need to define some of these words because I hear the word wonderful, and I think you've got really bad, you've got bad, like Ohio State bad, like Alabama bad. I'm preaching. It's the word of the Lord. And then you've got bad, then you've got okay, then you've got good, then you've got great, then you've got wonderful. That's not the wonderful it's talking about. Wonderful from the word pele. The word pele. Wonder, marvel, full of wonder, astonishment, phenomenon, extraordinary, hard to understand. You ever been astonished? You ever been blown away by something that you've seen? Most of my astonishment that I've experienced in this life, it's not from a game, it's not from a set of circumstances. It's generally from something that is so much bigger than me. The astonishment that comes at creation. Astonishment. In Maui, there's a volcano. Mount Haleakala. Got corrected by the 815. It's Haleakala. You got to get the la. And I was like, have you been there? She's like, yes. I'm like, okay. But this volcano that you get up at like 2:30 in the morning and you steal the sheets off of your hotel beds like everybody. That's my wife. We took the whole comforter. Do you get what's happening there? Like, she's taking a picture. I'm taking a picture of her taking a picture. That's like, whoa, what just happened? I thought it was cool. But the sun starts to come up. Tour buses arrive. You've got to get a ticket. You've got to get there. And then you just watch, like, from every angle. You could literally walk 10 feet and everything looks different. You've seen it at the Grand Canyon. Maybe you've seen it on Google. You've seen this astonishment of some place that's so unique and so special. It was at that moment I really felt like the Lord wanted us to start a campus in Maui for Rock Harbor, another location that I could faithfully serve at as often as needed by God. Pray about it. We'll have an opportunity at the end to give. But to be astonished, I remember when I was 13, 14 years old, snuck out at camp, saw 50 shooting stars at night with a group of guys. We went to sing and do a devotion on top of a rock. This was like back, you know, good 30 years ago, like when you didn't have to wear bike helmets to unload the dishwasher. You know, just be safe. You know, we just literally climbed a rock and in, you know, probably 7,000-8,000 feet high in Colorado, saw 50 shooting stars. How many have seen a green burst or a green flash over the ocean? Looks like this. Almost looks digitized. Oh, this is high resolution. This is what it looks like. You look across the ocean, all of a sudden at that perfect moment when the sun is setting, the mirage is happening and the gases are going and your eyes are seeing it. It forms like a prism and it's like boom, boom. I was in San Diego and I saw one of these 3 weeks ago. I was like, dude, what was that? And they're like, oh, this is this. And the guy was like, I've seen 5 of them in my life and I live here. I'm like, you're a loser, dude. I just saw one. I've been here 10 minutes. But maybe you've seen it. It's just this moment where it doesn't even seem, you're like, what, did my brain just reset? And is my computer defragging right now and I just saw something? So astonishment, like I caught this moment. I saw it when the birth of our firstborn. And going, oh my goodness, I cannot believe what the Lord has done and what he's given. And then when we had twins, and they were 3 minutes apart, and I didn't even do anything. I'm like, how did this even happen? How were they in? And they're not in there anymore. And like they're alive, and they're like 4 pounds. And then you're like, oh my goodness. The astonishment of God's creation, the marvel, the wonder, the phenomenon. That's wonderful. Full of pele. Counselor, the word counselor. It's not the word counselor that we think like you need to see a counselor. I see one. You think I need to see him more. That's beside the point. You need to see a counselor too, especially the lady 815. She needs to see a counselor. It's not about that. When you look at the biblical definition of counseling, it's the person that comes to the battlefield and tells the soldiers, don't look over here. The battle's about to begin. Look at me. I've been here before. We are going to leave this battle alive. We're going to win this battle. I've been here before. That's what the biblical definition of this word counselor means. It's saying, I know how this is going to end. And to think like Jesus is more. The Messiah is more. Remember, these are descriptions of Jesus, the Messiah. Wonderful counselor. He's been here before. He's writing this 750 years before he ever comes. And he says he's already been there. 2,800 years from when it was written, right where we are right now, he's already been here. He knows how it's going to end. He's been through temptation. He's been through pain. He's been through persecution. He's been through suffering. He's a wonderful counselor. He is life. Then it says, Mighty God, Gibor, brave, strong warrior. He hit mighty. He fights for you. God, El. That's the word in Hebrew for God. He sees all things. He knows all things. He's omniscient, omnipresent. He's everywhere. Nothing goes unnoticed. It's like your life's a book. And he knows what's going to happen, and he knows what did happen. He's saying, hey, you remember back here when you were ready to quit? You remember back here? You remember when things got tough? You remember this good time? Look at my faithfulness. Look at what I did. Look what I'm continuing. Hey, you're not there yet. Just hang on. Trust me. He's mighty God. He knows all things. He sees all things, and he's saying, hey, trust, follow. I've got a way. I'm going to make a way where there's no way. You can trust me. And he sent his only son because God just didn't keep us out there. No, like, as mighty God inhabited in a flesh, in flesh as a small baby, and the whole earth sang. Philippians 2:6, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but no, Jesus Christ, he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He joined us. But you know what else he did? He replaced us. He came just as us, and he replaced us on a cross. A cross we deserved, a death we deserved, and gave us life that we do not deserve, an eternity that we don't deserve. And he wants us to be with him. Mighty God wants us with him. This is the greatest act of being mighty, to lay down one's life, perfect life, to die a cruel death and then raise from a borrowed tomb so that you could have eternal life with him, everlasting life. He's the everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. I got an incredible text from my wife this week, and I'm going to read it because I embellish things at times. She said, you're a really great dad. And then she had that heart emoji with the hands. If you have an Android, you don't know what I'm talking about. Like if you have a Samsung, Google Pixel, you don't know, but there's this emoji. And by the way, you ruin every text thread ever for everyone else. We can't even name it because of you. Anyways, I'm not trying to derail, but I am trying to preach the word. But it had that emoji. And here's what I know. She sends this to me, and I got an opportunity a day last week to really serve my kids, and she just recognized it. And one of the greatest things I could ever hear, one of the greatest compliments I could ever hear in this life. But behind that, I know this. I have failed absolutely as a dad. Failed miserably at times. Things that, you know, you wish your kids won't remember. Like, you remember, and that forced you to change in some of your behavior, your actions, things you said, anger, frustration, whatever it is. We have an everlasting Father, a perfect Father. Some of you have great dads. Some of you don't. Some of you have pain from that. Some of you, this is a hard time of year for you. But you have an everlasting Father, an infinite, eternal, no beginning, no end, always will be. He will be the same 10 years from now. He'll be the same 100 years from now. His love for you does not change ever. And that's what was wrapped up in this baby that came. And the one from whom he was sent. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Man can do nothing. Hebrews 4:16, let us then with confidence draw near to his throne, this throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The best way I can describe that outside of Scripture is a quote from Tim Keller. Tim Keller says this, the only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m. for a glass of water is a child. You can go to his throne, you're going to be received with grace. Who's going to wake up the king at 3 a.m. for fear of losing the life of a child? And guess what? You're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, and you can go before his throne of grace. And you can bring your petitions before him, you can bring your sin before him, you can bring your pain before him. He's not put off by you. He's not annoyed by you. He's like, oh my goodness, I'm so annoyed that they sinned yet again. No, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but you have to bring the sin before him. It's called repentance. He's not put off. He wants you to bring your anger before him. He wants you to bring hatred. If there's any hatred or bitterness, bring it before him. Your thoughts of suicide, he's not bothered. You're not bothering him. He loves you. His love for you is never going to change. 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 2,800 years, infinity. Alpha, Omega love for you. He has grace for you. He's an everlasting father. And guess what? Satan is the everlasting liar. And he'll tell you from a place of death and destruction that awaits him. He'll tell you from a place of slander and hate and adversary, his everlasting adversary. And he'll tell you it's too many times. He'll tell you he's done. But God, in his word, over and over says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. There's nothing too big for me. What can man do when you lean on the love of the everlasting Father? Nothing. In fact, the words of Jesus, it is finished. It is finished. Prince of Peace. This is an area we probably need a ton of deprogramming in. Peace. We think a little bit more of this, or if I get some more of this, it'll be enough. How much is enough? How much money is enough? How much resource? How much? Well, we don't have to look very far to see, like, man, all these things don't bring peace. There's not a lot of peace in the world, but is there peace in your heart? Is there peace in your heart? I'm going to read a verse I read probably 3 weeks ago. I think it's okay to read the same verse within 3 weeks. I don't know if you guys have rules on that, but I think God's okay with it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He brings a peace, not like the world brings a peace. He brings a completely different peace. When he looks down upon you, well done, my good and faithful servant. He looks and sees like, hey, they've surrendered, they've submitted, they've confessed, they've made right. And he's perfectly okay. He's to the point of, I'm glad you came to my bedside at 3 a.m. I'm glad, and by the way, he never sleeps and never slumbers. But he's not put off by the time or the times that you come to him. Ephesians 2:13 through 14. But now in Christ, you who were once afar away, you've been brought near through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself is our peace. Maybe you were once far away. You know, this is God's rescue story. There's two types of lost people here today. This is God's rescue story. Who needs to be rescued? Those who are lost. There's two types of lost. One, the wanderer. You've wandered away. Prodigal son, prodigal daughter. You've wandered away. You once were closer than you are right now. You've gotten caught up in some things, but 3 a.m., 2 a.m., it don't matter. Come back. Come home. In the middle of it, I'm like, I got to work these things out before I work things out with God. Just come home. And the other loss is those that have never made it home. Have you made it home? Not just is your heart prepared for Christmas, but is your soul prepared for eternity? Have you made it home? He's faithful and just to forgive you. He wants to receive you. When that short 80 years or 20 years or for my son, 18 years, I don't know how long you have. Is your soul prepared for eternity? Not just your heart for Christmas. If God has moved in your heart right now, I want to give you the opportunity. This is not my words. These are the words of the Lord given to you when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I want to give you rest. If God has moved in your heart to receive him as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you right now in this moment to pray with me. Whether you're in person, you're online, dear Lord, please forgive me. I have sinned. I've fallen short. I recognize your effort to send your only son, and I believe. I believe he died and he rose again. And I receive the life that comes in you alone. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for sending your only son so I could have life. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.